a picture of what worship does. Something that's important to remember when you sing a Fanny Crosby song. And she says, "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight." She was blind. She was blind from the age of 3. Worship helps you to see. Worship helps you to see. My friend, I've been waiting for this for a long time, to have my brother Elam here. Elam is from Webuye in western Kenya. And about 2008, onto my email came this greeting from some man in Kenya. Now, pastors in America get lots of things from people in Africa saying that they have $1 million or $10 million for us. And so I was cautious. But this man wasn't asking for anything. He just wanted a friend. And we communed and communicated for quite a number of years. And then he invited me to come and preach at a conference. And I went there in 2012 and stayed in his home for almost 2 weeks and just communed with him and enjoyed his family. Some of the pictures that he's going to show here when he begins are ones that I took 7 years ago. And then he has pictures of what those children look like now, his 4 children and his wife. He and his wife haven't changed much. He says, I've changed. He says, "You were a small boy when you came." And now I'm an expanded preacher. So I'm going to invite him. And man of God, that I would like you to be up on the platform, and that's why you have the microphone. And he has, first of all, he has some pictures from his ministry and what they do and his family. And then he's going to bring the word to us. And so we'll do that this time. Come.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The way you have heard, my name's Bishop Elam Mafunga Nyongesa. When we met, I was not the bishop. I don't know how we came in contact, I cannot recall. But we came in contact and we became great friends. And when he came to Kenya, I traveled about 8 hours from western part of Kenya to meet him at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. So he was also traveling from Tanzania. He arrived ahead of me because of the traffic jam. So when I got off from a bus, I saw somebody slim, looks familiar, standing on the sun, choking on his head. I went where he is. I said, "You must be kid. I'm Elam." We spent good time in together with him, together with my family. And I just want to tell you that God's way of doing things is not man's way of doing things. I never knew that time will come when God will give me the enablement to come and minister to his congregation. I'm so privileged and I'm so delighted. I have a friend also. We studied the word. We usually deeper in the word. When he heard that I was coming to Ohio, Ashland, then he told me, "Elam, I've never met you. I'll make all the effort to come and meet you. I just want him to stand where he is and wave. Brother Tom." Amen. Hallelujah. The way you have been told, I'm married. Africans, when we introduce our wife, if you are a servant of God, you must be specific. Because the culture allows men to marry more than one wife. So I must be specific to tell you that I'm married to one wife, Francisca Nyongesa. The reason why I say so, my dad had two mothers and married other eight ladies who never stayed for long. They were just coming for a period of time and then they go. Out of two mothers, we are 24. And out of the 24, I'm the last born. And I'm the one who got saved, who received the high call. I was working with one of the biggest press media in Nairobi. I'm a journalist by profession. But when I received the high calling, I had to resign and went home to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. God has blessed me with four kids. The firstborn is called the name's Leah Baroness. She completed her university studies last April. She graduated. The secondborn is doing his third year at the university. He's taking industrial chemistry. The thirdborn is in high school form three. And then the lastborn is in grade six. You are going to see them. Sometimes the African culture, they don't allow me to have four kids and then I call the fourth one the lastborn. They normally just say a miracle can happen on the way, so it's just the acting lastborn. Hallelujah. Before we continue, I just want us to share something, to encourage one another in the Lord, to see what the Lord wants us to know in this day. Do you think we are equal in the eyes of God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if we are equal in the eyes of the God, then how are we in the eyes of God? We are in his own image because he created us in his image. When you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, you will find that male and female were created in his image. And after God creating man in his own image, God was full of love. And he had to breathe the breath of life through the nostril of man, and man became a living being. You are living because you have some breath of God. The Bible says that God took the soil from the earth and made your body. And after making your body, he looked at it, he looked at you, and saw something that resembles himself, and that's why he had to give that body life. And that's why you are alive today. And when he gave you life, he gave you another thing. Your people may say he gave you dominion. Another people may say he gave you authority. So being in the image of God, you have the authority. Hallelujah. I don't want to repeat what I spoke yesterday in men's fellowship. But I want us to share something because we are in the same. Hallelujah. Whether you are young, whether you are small, whether you are slim, whether you are fat like Pastor Kate, whether you are white, whether I'm black, whether you are brown, we are all equal in the presence of God. Amen. We are all equal in his image. Amen. Hallelujah. And all of us, we have been given the dominion, we have been given the authority. And the authority that God gave us was to continue with the pre-creation of the world. During the ancient time, we did not have vehicles, automotives. During the ancient time, we did not have telephone. And when Moses received the high call, when he was at Jethro's place, when he saw a burning bush which was not being consumed, and God gave him instruction that go and deliver the children of Israel from bondage. When he was in the desert going, his brother Aaron, who used to be against him, also received the high call from God, go and meet your brother in the desert. And they met without communicating. Hallelujah. If we are met in the same image of God, I want us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 onwards. I'll not open the Bible because I know time is not on my hand. But we are going to look at this girl who was a small girl, a maid girl, in the house of a general. Naaman was the general, was the army leader of the Assyrians. Hallelujah. And the Assyrians were the bitter enemies of the Israelites. So one time they had gone to war and the Assyrians defeated the Israelites. The Assyrian Empire was powerful by that time. It has defeated the Israelites and also defeated the Egyptians and also defeated the Babylonians. And the reason why they defeated these nations or these empires, it was because of Naaman, who was so skillful. And the Assyrians were the first empire to manufacture the weapons, the sophisticated weapons on how to fight the enemies. The Assyrian, the capital of Assyria was called Assur. And it was founded in 2500 BC. The official languages of the Assyrians were Akkadian, Sumerian, and Aramaic. I want to speak about the Aramaic. The Assyrians spoke, their official language was Aramaic. And yesterday we were saying the Bible was written in three languages. The first language is Hebrew. The second language was Greek. The third language was Aramaic. So the Assyrian was speaking the Aramaic language. Hallelujah. The Assyrian government was being led by monarch. I hope you understand monarch. Hallelujah. So it was a powerful empire. And this general of the army, Naaman, had made the Assyrian to look so powerful during those days. But look, Naaman had everything. Money was not a problem. He possessed all things because he had favor before the king of the Assyrian Empire. But look, the Bible says Naaman had one weakness. He had a disease that was unincurable. Naaman had leprosy. His hair was just coming off from his head. He had so many sores on his body. His nails were just coming off. Then this little girl, this maid, who was captured, who was under captivity, who was working in the house of Naaman without pay. She looked on Naaman how he was suffering and told the wife of Naaman that if my master can go back to my home, there is a prophet who can heal him. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm saying all of us, we are equal in the eyes of God. God can use you in any situation that you are in. Whether you are not rich, God can use you. Whether you are young, God can use you. Whether you are old, God still wants to use you. Professor Rando, don't say you are old, you have done enough, you have retired. No, God can use you right now to do something great. You can change the situation. And God can bless you. I remember it was a time, I don't know if you know, but for me I know, your former president, Barack Obama. Barack Obama comes from our place. His roots, his father, I went up to the grave of his father. He comes from our place. So when I went there, the old lady, the grandmother of Barack Obama, when I looked at the pictures during those days when Obama was not in power, this old lady, this grandmother used to serve a lot. She was just selling vegetables at the market. But when his grandson came on power, the life of this grandmother changed. When I went there, I saw an old lady who is living a modern life. The nails were having cutex. The nails were red. He was walking with a modern walking stick. Her house had the antennas for security purpose. You could not reach her easily. You must pass through the security checks before you read that old letter. And they will tell you, sit under that tree. She will see you through the window, and then she will come and greet you. The old lady just takes her time because things changed. Church, I want to encourage you that walking in blessings is just like turning a pattern. When you just turn a pattern, you are walking in blessings. And you can only walk in blessings when you do what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. This young lady who was a slave, we don't know what happened to him. Yesterday I was searching to get her name. In fact, they have not given her. She doesn't have the name. Just a slave lady. Case. After Naaman going to where Elisha was, you know that story, I don't want to repeat it, and went in River Jordan, and he had to immerse himself in River Jordan 7 times. He came out, he had been healed, he had been made whole. He went back home. Can you guess what he did to this medical? The Bible does not say anything, but if you figure out, there is something Naaman must have placed the maid. And maybe she never led any more slavery life or being under bondage. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you by saying God does not look at the outward. When the Israelites demanded a king, by telling God, we want a king whom we can see with our own eyes, then God gave them Saul. Mm-hmm. But look how life went. Mm-hmm. But when things were not working out, God instructed Prophet Samuel to go in the house of Jesse and anoint a leader. When Jesse brought his muscular sons, his tall sons, the oil did not come out of the horn or the bottle. Until he was asked, do you have another one? Then he said, I have a younger one who is looking after sheep, who was dirty, who was not clean. Then Prophet Samuel said, bring him. When David came, the oil came out of the horn. He was anointed, a small boy, out of the men. I, the last one out of 24, I'm anointed by God to preach the gospel, to have reached where my brother Kate is. Because I'm anointed. And the reason why David was anointed, God does not look on the outward, God looks in the inward. Amen. Hallelujah. God can bless you when he looks in the inward. The inward of you is what I've said, God breathed the breath of life in you, and there is where you have the relationship with your God. So he looks there at your heart. Are you worshiping him? Hallelujah. And that's why in Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You must learn how to seek first the kingdom of God. Righteousness is not being right standing with God. Righteousness is God's way of doing things. You do things the way God does things because you are his image. You do things that pleases God. You become a worshiper. You become a person who reads the word, who wants to know why is this one written. You tip tipper. Some of us, we are used into mentioning the scriptures and the chapters. But we don't meditate upon a scripture and know why is it the way it is. For you to have things of the world, God must know that you are existing. And God can only know that you are existing when you are in line with him. When you have the same characters, your characters resemble the characters of God. Yesterday I was teaching this old man, including the professor, that your car has a breakdown. It has an engine problem. And you make a phone call to a mechanic, tell him, hey, my car has a problem. Come and fix it. He comes with his toolbox. Instead of opening where the engine is, the bonnet, he calls and opens behind the boot. Will you trust that mechanic? Will you trust him? You can't trust him. So you can only trust me when I know what I'm doing. God can only trust you when he knows what you are doing. He knows what you are doing is right. God has given you a toolbox, and a toolbox is the Bible. And this toolbox, it has the spanners, spanner number 16, spanner number 14, number 18, plies, ring spanner, Allen keys, they're in this. This is the toolbox.
Spanners are wrenches.
Yeah. So, how can you please God and yet you don't know the toolbox? How can you please God and yet you don't know the books of the Bible? You should memorize the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Why today I'm forgetting? Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. You must know them. Those are your spanners in the toolbox. Hallelujah. You must know the word of God. The way I was saying, God does not look at the outward, he looks at the inward. He wants to know who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall continue after going through the pictures, the events that we did together with my brother. I was telling him that now, if you could have come for the second time and stand at the airport where I met you, it would have been difficult to allocate him because he has put on some more weight. It would have been difficult. Hallelujah. Don't know. The what you are seeing in red is my last concern. We are in church. That is our praising songs, one of our praising songs. That is our church. It's not finished like yours. We are still working on it. The chief usher of the church. He was an ex-Air Force and a retired. That old man. It says we shall sing with Jesus Christ. Swahili song. Swahili is one of our natural languages. We shall sing with Jesus Christ. We shall chant with Jesus Christ. The one in Mexico is the administrator of the church. Okay, you can move to another. Oh, yeah, you forgive these things. I'm getting them here. Yeah. That is one of the schools we visited, and they were singing for us. They are saying, you sing to Jesus Christ and you can make a place with Jesus Christ. Now, as a young Pepe, Yeah, this is the map of Kenya. We are rightly located somewhere here, Kakamega. Mm-hmm. And then Kisumu is where? This is the Victoria Lake. The Victoria Lake is shared among three countries of East Africa. Mm-hmm. The largest part of it is in Tanzania. And then Uganda has part of it, and then Kenya. So there is where I come from, western part of Kenya. I had to travel by bus to Nairobi. Mm-hmm. Nairobi is our capital city. There is where we have our international airport, Jomo Kenyatta. My firstborn Leah is now here in Nairobi. She is on her internship, staying with the aunt. And then my secondborn Ruben, we drove to Nairobi when I was taking him to college, to Mombasa. Mombasa is at the coast, Indian Ocean, this Mombasa. So Ruben currently, from Mombasa, we moved somewhere here to Malindi. Ruben is in, not Malindi, Kilifi. He's in Kilifi somewhere here. That's where he is right now. So that is the map of Kenya. Most agricultural land is found western part of it. Mm-hmm. The northeastern is semi-arid. Eastern is also semi-arid. Going up there is semi-arid. It is predominantly occupied by the pastoralists. Mm-hmm. When you hear of the Maasai, the Turkanas, the Samburus, they come from northern part of Kenya. We have the Rift Valley somewhere. It's very, very good. When you are on the mountain and you view the Rift Valley, you enjoy yourself. Oh, I've pressed the wrong button.
Here it is.
Yeah. That is part of the land of Kenya. That is the Rift Valley of it. It is very good when you are on the mountain. Yeah, your pastor, when we met in Nairobi, we spent a night in Nairobi. The following morning, we had a good Samaritan who offered to take us to Western. We drove by road. We took 8 hours on the road, and we had reached at a hotel in Webuye. That was my cell phone by that time. I was also slender. I might have put on some weight. Yeah, he was taking me for some exercises. Every morning, we were walking, running. So we were on the mountain trying to view Webuye town. That is my wife. By then, look how she was. You know, God does things. She was slender. So Pastor Kate was now leaving. She was escorting Pastor Kate. That luggage that is on the head is for Pastor Kate. In Africa, ladies carry luggage on the head.
She insisted that she carry my luggage to the bus station.
To the bus station. So you are going to the bus station. There she is. She has a natural smile. It's me who don't know how to smile, but she has a natural smile. Yeah, she's an intercessor, and on top of her being an intercessor, she's a good interpreter. I was telling Pastor Kate, there's a difference between interpreting and translating. So she's a good interpreter. Sometimes when I'm giving a sermon, she interprets for me. She can interpret in Swahili. When I speak English, she interprets Swahili language, or she can interpret our local language. Mm. She's able to do that. Mm. Yeah, that's our last point. By that time, Rocco Peters.
That's 7 years ago.
7 years ago, she had lost some teeth. There he is right now. He's a grown-up. He's in grade 6. Rock Peter. That is Nehema by that time. Right now, that's how she looks in Nema, high school.
Nema means grace.
Yeah, the name Nema is a Swahili name, meaning grace. So she's Grace. The reason why we called her Grace, she was born premature. And one time, she used to hate me. And the reason why she used to hate me, when they were in hospital, the nurse who was in charge, the clinic officer who was in charge, came and inquired out of me. He said, "Your wife is in danger. She can pass on any time. So I've come to ask you, between your wife and the baby, whom do you want to be alive?" I said, "My wife." But without God, both of them came out alive. So the baby used to hate me because I didn't want her to be alive. It is natural. Until I went to her one time when she is mature, when she was of that age, I had to apologize. I said, "Look here, Nehema, during your time when your mother was giving birth, I wanted you to die. So I'm sorry, you forgive me." Then he laughed. He went and told the mother, "Look at this or that. He's telling me that he wanted me to die. I won't die." There she is right now. And among all my kids, among all the four kids, this girl, she's genius. She's genius. And she's the only girl who can challenge me in the house. When we are talking, when we are reasoning over something, she's very sharp. She usually challenges me in the house. Now, we normally have fitting program twice in a year. December, we cook food and feed the congregation and give them some gifts. So she's part of the cooking team. She likes cooking. Sometimes I normally tell the mother, "You don't cook nicely. You and Leah, Leah is our firstborn. I normally say, you don't cook nicely like Nehema. She cooks good food." That time when they were still young, Grace, Nehema, and Rocco Peter, when they were young, that's how they used to look like.
This is the
video. Yeah, okay. Can listen to them.
Okay, go ahead.
"Teacher, you are a miracle worker. At the bottom of my heart, you are a saint that never fails. A never ending source of inspiration. A mineral source, full of diamond. A waterfall from where wisdom flows. You are the foundation of what I am. I desire to be. Out of you comes another great teacher, a pilot, a policeman, and a president. You have created great men and women out of boys and girls. Teacher, you are a miracle worker."
There they are. He's pushing the boy. Boys are always slow. There is Ruben. We were baptizing him together with Pastor Keith. We had confessed Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Ruben is my son, who is now doing his third year at Bwani University at Mombasa. Currently, this is how he looks like. He has grown. He's at the beach. Mombasa is on the beach. He's now a grown-up boy. I normally tell him, "Now you are grown up. Do your own thing. I only support you. I can only decide for you. If you decide to do bad things, you do bad things. If you decide to do good things, you do good things." That is our first pond layer. Because of schools, they came late. We are also baptizing her. Currently, that's how Leah looks. She's in between us. She's called Leah Baroness. Baroness, I gave her a name. You had a secretary for overseas, Baroness Linda Choker. So I took that name. She's called Leah Baroness. That was the day when she graduated last April 26th. That is my wife. I told you she has improved. It's not, you know, when you are in salvation, God works on you. That is the mother, my wife, and there I am. I like this suit, by the way. I don't have one. There are many, but this one, it gives me my outfit. there we are, Leah, and myself. Well, that is my house.
There are windows in it now.
Not all, yeah.
Okay.
Just like two windows, two, three. That's my house. I'm trusting God to place me to get a good house. In fact, I'm praying that I should build a guest house. When you people, you come, you don't sleep in a hotel, you don't spend. We just sleep together with you. In this house is where your pastor slept. He slept in this house. That's my car, which is crazy. And those are some of my pastor friends. That's my car. It's still alive. I like it. It might have given birth. It might have given birth this month. By 10 to 28, I'll ask my wife right now to know if it has given birth. Yeah. That's the inside of my house. We tried to improve because of Pastor Keith so that he can see it at a good place. That is the borehole where we get our water for consumption, for drinking, for usage. That is our borehole. We drilled it. It's about 56 feet. Yeah, we rented a tent from the army person for the conference when Pastor Kate came. That is the tent we rented. We used it. I don't know if you can remember, you sent us some money to buy a church instrument. Yeah, that's what we bought, the keyboard, the amp, and the speaker is somewhere. Even though they have become old, some of them, they are not working. But when you look at them, then you can place me again. Yeah, we are continuing with the conference. Pastor Keith is teaching, that is Bishop Richard Bitok, all the way from Eldoret. After Webuye, Pastor Keith visited Bishop Richard Bitok. There we are. Still in that. Now, this is my motorbike, which I used to give a lift to Pastor Keith. I remember one day the rain caught us on the way and we were rained on badly. That's the motorbike. It was the mode of transport by that time. And we used to have our services in that building. We had rented, we were paying around $400. Then from there, God started blessing us. You can see the fence, the post, and the wire. Now we had acquired that land. Just through miraculous, we acquired the land. I bought the first plot, and the owner said, Pastor, you are going to pay me in installment. So when we started the church foundation, the first thing was prayer very early in the morning. We are at the ground, we are praying together with the person who is Amazon, this person in black. We prayed together to start to take the foundation of the church. Here is measuring the foundation of the church. That was the first plot. Now they are digging the foundation of the church. And they should dig about 5 feet to make it more strong. There they are digging. They are continuing working on it. That is the church compound. We have the material there. The church administrator is walking around. What you are seeing town there, that is our gate. We close it sometimes. Those are materials for the building, sand, bricks, and gravels. Mm-hmm. That is the church building far there. There it is. The church had reached on our old plate. There it is. Now from the old plate, they are constructing three layers before roofing. Now, after roofing, the church reached there. There I am. I said, I don't have one suit. I hope you have seen another one. That is my car that I sold for me to come. I gave it away to raise $1,400 for air ticket. And I'm trusting God. I'm going to get a truck. God is going to place me. I've planted a seed. Yeah, we were in our local transportation now heading to Eldoret with Pastor Keith. I was on a mission. I had visited another church. Still on mission in another church. Still on mission after visiting that church, we were treated for lunch. Huh? That is what you are seeing on those plates, white. That's what we call ugali. Ugali is a mixture of corn flour and hot water, and then you stir up. That is what we eat in Kenya. It is our staple food, our common food, ugali. This is how we cook our chicken. We just cook them the way you are seeing here and here. And we enjoy them. Though I've enjoyed your chicken, they are good. Those are the kids. Some of them are orphans. My wife, she's cooking. We use firewood to cook, by the way. In Kenya, especially western part, when you tell somebody that you cook with the electricity, then he cannot believe that is like a miracle. Mostly we use firewood. We are feeding the kids, the orphans, during the feeding program. That is the mode of transportation. We had traveled with a motorbike about 200 kilometers. The one who is sitting behind is my colleague, a pastor friend, James Omwaka. We are so close. And he's really praying for me when I'm here. He's saying, Elam, I want those white people to come. But you fear Africa. But I say, come, I'm there for you. Don't fear. That's how we plow our land. We use oxen and a plow. We are plowing our land. Most people, they use oxen. It's me sometimes who uses a tractor. But mostly they use oxen to plow land so that they can plant corn, they can plant vegetables, they can plant sugarcane. The mode of transport, the bicycle is not working. So he sought a lift on a motorbike. They're going in town so that he can mend his bicycle, can repair his bicycle. Yeah. That is a spring where we get drinking water. When you see them, they have gone to draw water for consumption and for the use in homes. It is a spring. We have electrical posts. They come out from trees. We call them eucalyptus trees. They are very long, and I've planted some of them. So that is the post for cables of electricity. And they are very dangerous. So those people, those Africans who don't know how to read, they normally tie when they touch on those posts. They are not well fixed. Yeah, I hope I'm done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you clap to yourself?
Yeah.
That's what I hate. And as I finish, can we go to Matthew 7:7? And somebody to read it as I finish. Somebody to read it. I like it. You know, I have found one thing that is common in every church. I thought it was only happening in my church. People don't like sitting in front. Now it is all over. Even you don't want to occupy the front seats. Why? And the Bible says in Psalms 133 that how pleasant when brethren dwell together, or when brethren sit together, it is like the harmony flowing from the head of Aaron, going down to his beard, down to his robe, and to the hem, the head. So if you want to get blessings, be sitting in front.
Yeah.
Because they usually come from the head going down.
Uh-huh.
Can you read, Pastor?
Ask and it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Seek and you will find.
Mm-hmm.
Knock and the door will be opened.
Mm-hmm. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and it will be found. Knock. You know, the Bible is encouraging us. God is waiting for you to ask. God is waiting for you to seek. He's there. He has those things in store to bless you. But he's waiting upon you to ask, to knock first. And when you read 12, it says what? That same Matthew 7, verse 12. Do not leaving only the pastor to be reading the Bible.
So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
If you want something, do to others the same way that you want it to happen to you. So in other words, I want to tell you that if you blessing does only come by praying. Some of us, we are tuned to pray so much so that God can bless us. But when you read these scriptures, Jesus is saying, blessings need an action. You must be doing something. Hallelujah. If you want someone to do something unto you, the way I'm saying, I want God to bless me with a truck. I sold my car to invest in the word of God. And here I am, I'm investing the word of God because I sold my car. So I want a big car because I converted my car into a seed. I have planted a small seed that when it germinates, it will give me in plenty. I'll get a truck. God will not leave it. I started by a motorbike. I got a vehicle. Now I've sold it. I'm going to get a truck. Believe me or not, God is going to touch someone. And someone is going to place me with a truck. Yeah. Praise God. When we go in Galatians 6:7, it says, you reap what you sow. If you sow in flesh, you reap in flesh. If you sow in spirit, you reap in spirit. You reap what you sow. If you sow little in this hand, you will just reap little. If you give $1 to the work of God, you will just reap additional $1. You can't reap in plenty. So if you want to reap in plenty, you must have a big seed. Hallelujah. In order for you to reap in plenty. I don't know. It is Lucas 6:38. When it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, mm-hmm. a full measure, pressed down, well shaken, will be put unto your bosom." And a pair of it, it gives a warning. It says the same measure that you met with, the same measure that you give, will be the same measure added unto you. If you give $1 in a church, you'll just get an extra $1. If you give $50 in a church, you'll get extra $50. If you give $100 in a church, you'll get extra $100. That is the word of God. Hallelujah. As I finish, Galatians now says, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Those are not my words. So you must invest in the word of God. You must invest in the word of God. Going to church does not mean you are going to be blessed. You must invest. I learned how to invest. You have seen my house, and you have seen I'm putting up a permanent church. I'm investing in the word of God. Every penny, every coin I get, I'm investing in the word of God. And after finishing the church, then I'll sit and then say, God, I've finished your house. Then God will bless me. He will give me a house because I have planted a house seed. Hallelujah. Is there anyone who is not married here? Just raise your hand if you are not married. It's not sin. Yeah, raise your hand. Thank you. I want to give you, and you want to get married? Yeah, it is obvious. Sister, I want to tell you how you can get a good husband. Can I tell you how to get a good husband? You plant a husband seed. I know you are wondering how you can plant a husband seed. I'm going to tell you how to plant a husband seed. Planting a husband seed, you reach out to those boys or to those men who are outside. They don't come to church, and you bring them. You do what we call soul winning. When you win them, when you bring them to the body of Christ, then out of them, one will fall in love with you and will marry you. That is a husband seed. Who has a problem of school fees? I'm finishing. Who has a problem of school fees? Just raise your hand. I'm going to tell you how you can get school fees. Is there anybody who has a problem? Sheila, raise your hand. You want to go to school again? Yeah. If you have a problem of school fees, you plant a school fees seed. I know you are wondering how you can plant a school fees seed. Maybe you need $26,000 to pay for your tuition fee. You don't have those $26,000. What can you do? Go to your neighbor who has a student who's still in high school or grade whatever. And maybe they need only $500. And you are able to raise that $500. Pay for that pupil, for that student. Assist that parent. Give him the $500. That is your seat, your school fees seat. Then God will touch somebody to bless you with $26,000 to pay your tuition fee. So for anything to happen, you must do something. If you want a good dress and you don't have money, you have admired the dress on the display, look for a dress seat. Go in your wardrobe Take one dress. Go and place somebody with that dress. That is a seed, a dress seed you have planted. And you reap what you sow. You cannot plant maize and reap potatoes. If you plant maize, you reap maize. If you plant potato seed, you reap potatoes. Do you understand? Otherwise, thank you. God bless you. I'm happy to stand before you. I'm so humbled. I come from a poor background. I got saved, and I was chased away from home because I refused tradition and culture. I was not given any part of my father's inheritance because of salvation. I remember I was jailed because of salvation. My brothers took me to court, and I was jailed because Kenya is corrupt. I was jailed for 3 years, 9 months. I left my family, but I thank God. I thank God, brethren. I encourage you to press on in salvation. I never knew. I passed through so many temptations. I jumped so many hurdles together with my wife. But God can lift you. God who lifted me. We stayed without food. Our firstborn Leah suffered a lot. But God, brethren, I tell you, the God that I serve is the same God that you are serving. You will never remain the same. Hallelujah. Amen. We face challenges, yes. But stick to your God. Stick to your line. Love the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even some people in Kenya, they cannot believe Elam can be here. But here I am. And I'm here because of the word of God, brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here because of the word of God. I'm sleeping like a king because of the word of God. I'm happy because of Pastor Kate. He's taking good care of me. Be blessed. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Elam. The concept that we teach is you can't outgive God.